Shall we begin with hymn number 266, Jesus, Lover of My Soul? Let's sing the first three. Welcome into the house of the Lord, one and all. So pleased that we could be together here and have guests, Esther and Klaus. So wonderful to have you with us, and we'll be hearing more from them this afternoon. And I have a couple of nephews, long-lost nephews, that are wonderful to see here. William and Peter, welcome. Please come back. Come back soon. So good to see you. They're here to see their grandmother. And the rest of us, I'm sure. But so good when you could come. Don't want to overlook anyone here. Hi, Alexis. Everyone's here. This is so good that we can all be together in the house of the Lord. And welcome also to those on Zoom, Uncle Carl and anyone else who might be gathering with us electronically this morning. Pray you that you would be blessed as well as we here in person. Do we have any greetings from anyone who'd like to share?
Greetings from Mansfield.
Greetings from Mansfield, Ohio. Thank you, Mom.
Brother Alan Hansen texted me last night.
Oh, wonderful. Brother Alan Hansen.
Sam and Stella send their greetings also.
Okay. Rose? Yeah, thank you. Rose sends her greetings. Great, thank you. And the weather warms up, we're going to have to be seeing her again, right? Come visit her, yes. That would be great. Also, I had the opportunity to speak with both John and Maria Lotrian this past week, and they send their love and greetings. Anybody else? Update on medical problems. I've just maybe let Brother Frank share with us. Brother Sam has been in the hospital. He's now out at home. Every day for 3 weeks. He apparently had a very bad infection, system-wide infection that was very dangerous. But thankfully that he was able to be treated there in the hospital and now is going to have an antibiotic infusion daily for 3 weeks or something. So that's pretty serious. Please, please keep him in prayer. Keep our brother Mike Smith in prayer as well. He had a tooth removal and he's in quite a bit of pain today. So please pray for his comfort. Is there anyone else that we're aware of? Okay, so the schedule today is after our lunch, we will be hearing from Klaus and Esther regarding how the Lord is working in their lives. And so we'll have just a few songs first, maybe a couple of songs first, but then most of the time we'll allow for that and questions and answers and so forth. So that will be this afternoon. This Wednesday, 8 o'clock, via Zoom, also here in church, we'll be picking up our study in Acts 22 for our weekly Bible study. And I'll just announce again, we've been announcing that Nepo Mincino is our quarterly mission focus. And so please keep that mission in prayer this quarter and direct your contributions accordingly for that. Is there anything else I may have missed? Then to conclude us, a verse from Psalm 105, 2 and 3. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye all of his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. We gather together to seek the Lord, do we not today? In spirit and in truth and in community, one with another. And let our hearts therefore rejoice in that as we lift up our voices in unison to sing in unity, to sing unto him. In that regard, let's sing hymn number 341, all three verses, as we prepare our heart for God's word. And please keep Brother Frank in prayer as he will be dividing God's word to us this morning.
Good morning. We thank God for each one who has come this morning, and we ask his blessing would be upon each one. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you and praise you for who you are and the way that you show your love unto each one of us. And you have certainly shown your love in providing your word and in showing us the way that Jesus died for us so that our sins could be forgiven. And we thank you and praise you for that. And we ask that as your word goes forth, it would go in the power and might of your spirit. And we thank you and praise you for what you have done for each one of us. For we pray it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read from Ecclesiastes this morning. So I'm going to read in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 11. So it goes, To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men, to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And this is, Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, and here he's talking about the things that will happen in life. Some things that we see, some things good and some things bad, and or not so good. And we, as we take a look at that, to look at our lives and to see how God is working in our lives and how those things make a difference in our lives. And we want to look at that, and we want to see that. And in verse 11, he said he has made everything beautiful in his time. Everything is working according to God's plan. He is in control of everything, and he has made beautiful things for us. And then it also says, he had set the world in their heart, so that no man can find the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. The word that is translated world in this verse is really has several meanings. It's like as if a man is on a journey and he's on this road, and he can see the road ahead of him. He can see the road as far as he can go, like it goes into the distance, and he can't really see the road anymore. And that's the same thing with our lives, that as we go into our lives, we can see things that are ahead of us, but only for a small distance, and we can never see the beginning to the end. So it's like a man looking at that as a journey, that he's on a journey and he's traveling on this road, and he doesn't know exactly what's going to be on that road. We looked at situations here that you would find in different things, and you could see different situations and how life is sometimes different, and you cannot know all of those situations that you will have in your life. But God knows that. God knows our lives from the beginning to the end. He is the one that can look at those things. And here even there are some situations listed that seem like in conflict to what God says in the scripture for a believer's life. For instance, he says, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. And in Ecclesiastes 3, we read, we speak of a time to kill. And he's not saying that if you get in a situation and you feel like you want to kill someone, you should do it. He's not telling you to do that. He's telling you, like, there are some situations that where you don't feel right about a person, or you don't like what a person is doing to you, and you may even have an enemy that doesn't like you, but and you might feel feelings of hate or dislike. But God is not saying that we should go by that, by those feelings, not that we should act upon those feelings. In fact, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, and it also tells that warning in situations that hate, or even if you have an urge to get back at someone, that we should even love our enemies. The word tells us to love our enemies. And But those kind of situations will come in a life, and we would really want to know how to do that. And Jesus says in Luke 27 through 29, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also." And in situations like that, we really need the grace of God to be able to do these things, because it's not a natural reaction to have that someone who is cursing you and someone who doesn't like you to be kind to them and to show love to them. That's not really a natural reaction. That's something that really can only be given by God, that he could change our lives so that we can have the reactions or the forgiveness that we should. And we need God's grace, and not only in those situations, but we need God's grace every day in our lives to go through the everyday things and to go through the things that to be in the way that Jesus said in those verses, that we do to be kind to others and to show forth that love for others. And that's something that really only God will be able to help us to do those things. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it on our own. But God is in control of everything that happens. Even in situations that we bring upon ourselves, when bad things happen because of something that we did, God can teach us in those situations even that what is right and what is wrong, and what is according to his will and what is not according to his will. If we look for him as a teacher to teach us that, and he gave the Holy Spirit to us so that it would teach us in our lives those things that are right and wrong and give us guidance in the lives that we live. But we need to trust God. We need to be submissive to him and yield our lives unto him. That's something that the Bible tells us to do. And again, we see that in when he said he had set the world in our hearts, that he had set this path that we are on. And in looking on that path, we can see that there are things of ahead of us that we can't know and that we can't see because it's still far away. But when we trust God, we put that into his hands, so that we would be always in his hands and know that he knows those things that are going to happen in our lives. And we can't see that far off, but God can. And we have to trust him that he will be there throughout all our lives. And we don't know what the future holds, but we know that God holds the future in his hands, that God is already knows all of those things of the future of our lives. We don't know that. But then we need to depend on God to direct and guide our lives so that that we would be obedient to him, and we would be doing the things that he wants us to do, and to do things that are right in his sight. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, the Apostle Paul gives us encouragement in spiritual development. In 1 Thessalonians 4:1, it says, "Furthermore, that we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." And in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So our entire being should be it should be dedicated and trusting in the Lord. And he talks about the body, soul, and spirit. That and sometimes those things are difficult to say. Well, the body is pretty easy to describe, because we can see that, and we live in a body, and we can see those things. But as we look at body, soul, and spirit, we can't always define things in certain ways like that, and some of them overlap. But the body is like the physical parts of us as we are a living creature, and there are different parts to that. And there are muscles, there are flesh and blood and organs and tissues and nerves and bones, and the body has many parts, and the body was really designed by God so all those parts work together as one unit, and the different parts of the body give us different things. There are parts that move blood. There are parts that you can eat and drink through, and that move food, and parts that sense light and sound and taste. And it's really that we have so many parts of the body all working together. And even in that, you should be able to see that God has designed a body like that for things to work together, and the things that we should be able to see God's creation in what He has made us in a body like this, that those all those things are functioning together, that they all would have their parts and all have their functions of what they should do. And I think we should be really amazed by that there a body is like that, and a body is made up of maybe millions or billions of cells, yet each cell grows according to what God has made it to do. That there are cells that are in your bones, that a bone doesn't seem like it's growing, but it does grow, and God has made it to do that, and God has made it to know that it's a cell in a bone, and therefore it has to be hard. It has to be a structure that can support weight, and it has to be something that does that. And yet there's a muscle attached to that, and that muscle has to be soft and has to be expand and contract, and that's its function. How does the cell know what its function is? How does it know where it is and what the function it should do? What if the muscle were solid and hard and you couldn't move anything then? But God has made that so that it would function according to His purpose. And you should be able to see in that isn't an accident, that all of a sudden there was this body and all of these things are functioning together. It's God made it to do that. And there's a different kind of thing. There are cells also in the eye, and that cell has to know that it has to be clear, and it has to pass light through it. And there are sensors on the back of the eye that can sense what the light around us is showing us. And even in the eye, I think it has about 1 million of these light sensors, and somehow it can put all of those together as an image, and everything is in its place. And when you read words on a page, it has to put that all together, that image all together. And then there are words on the page. By different shapes, it can tell. You can tell from that image what those words are and identify that. And again, that's not something that happens by accident. That's something that God has made so that would work that way. And I think we should praise Him for that. And we should be amazed at what the things that God has done. I remember in college, there was this English teacher who said that I don't know how we got on this subject because he's an English teacher, but he said if you take the heart as a pump, any plumber with $10 worth of parts can make a more efficient pump. And I thought, really? How can that happen? We have a heart that is working inside of us. It's getting energy to pump from the body that it's in, and it continues pumping blood for 80, 90, sometimes 100 years. I don't think a plumber could do that at all. I don't think any plumber with any amount of money could do something like that. But I wasn't converted yet at that time, and I wanted to say something like that, but I never said it. And another person from the class walked out and never came back after that. But I didn't know exactly what to say or how to say it. But if you look at that, the body is such an amazing thing that how else could it come together? But it's created by a creator who knows what is needed and what those things are. And so when it talks about a body, soul, and spirit, I think of the body as those physical things in the body that God has put together. And then in the soul is really something that animates all those parts. It makes it work together. And we have the five senses that seeing, hearing, and all those things that really the soul is able to take that and to control those things so that everything works according to what God has designed it to do. And many of those things are happening without even thinking about it. You don't have to think about your heart. If your heart is functioning properly, you don't have to think about it, tell it when to beat. Or if you're running, tell it to go quicker. You don't have to tell it to do that. It does that because that's the way that God has designed it to work. And I love to see really young kids, how like a kid, a baby may start out with crawling and it learns how to move the hands and the feet. Usually it's on all fours, in a way that it can maneuver around. And I've seen babies growing up, because we have our adopted grandchildren, and I see that the baby is, when we first visit, it's able to crawl. And then when we come again, it's able to stand up by itself. And then it tries to take a step, but then it's on one foot, so it doesn't have the balance correctly. But it's trying to do that, and the next time we're there, it can walk already. And all those functions that the body was designed to do, it's learning to do. They're growing within the child, it's not that the child is reading a book and say, how do I do this and how do I do that? It's part of what God has put inside the body and made it to function in that way. And I think the spirit, because we were talking about, this verse was talking about body, soul, and spirit, but the spirit is the part that interacts in a higher level, those things that we maybe can't even define accurately, but things like an imagination. A person can imagine things that he would want to do, or he was able to do with his hands. If he's a woodworker, he can imagine things, what he can make out of that. Before it's made, it could be imagined in his mind how it should be. Things like a person's character, the character of a person. I have trouble even defining that, but you can see that some people are shy, some people are outgoing, some people do different things. But all of those things are things that God has designed the body to do. And intellect, that some people are really smart at certain things or good at math, and some people are not, or with other things. And I think in the spirit it also would be that there are some things that you can see, but like a person has a love, but how would you describe love? Could you describe that as an electrical signal in that goes to your brain, or sometimes you can see that in a person, the things that they really like and the things that they love. And really, God has designed our body to work in that way, and to be able to praise Him for all of those things that we can see how He has designed to work together, and that He wants us to work together as a body also, in the same way He's showing that a body is functioning to obtain a purpose. Also a church body should be that way also, to obtain that person, that purpose. And really our entire being should be dedicated to worshiping God, because He is such an awesome God. He has done these wonderful things in our lives that just those physical things are really amazing. And how can we say that just happened? It just kind of fell into place, those things, when we can see the working of God's hand in those things. And in Genesis 2:7 it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." God formed the body of Adam with flesh and blood and all those physical parts, and then he gave it a soul that was able to use those parts and able to do things with those parts, and should be able to see that is happening in your own life and in other people's lives, and that he can do things with his hands, with his feet, and that there are some athletes that can do some amazing things that I can't even believe are able to be done. And yet God gives that those physical parts, and He gives us a mind that can control and maneuver that body. And in 1 Corinthians 15:45 it says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." As Adam was, as God created Adam, He created the physical body of Adam, and then He put a soul within the body of Adam to do that. And then it says the last Adam was made a quickening spirit, that really this is what Jesus came to do, to make a body that would see all these things, would see how awesome God is, and would worship God even in just seeing those physical things, and then really go beyond that to see this what God wants us to really be. He wants us to be loving, and He wants us to be realizing what has been done for me in those physical things, and but then God gave even a higher level of existence when He gave us His Spirit, that through the Spirit we would be able to see more of God and to be able to do more for God, and to be able to serve God in all that we say and do. But we see that the Spirit has been corrupted through sin, that when Adam sinned, that there was this corruption, and the Spirit was no longer working the way that it should, because sin was was taking control of those things. But Jesus came in body, soul, and spirit so that he could go through the things that we go through, and we could understand more of his teaching, how he went through life, how he loved people, how he did amazing things, that the healing that no other people could do, and Jesus would do that, and yet he was crucified. There were people who didn't see that in Jesus. There were people who did see that, but there were people who didn't see that, and they would criticize Jesus and saying, "You're making yourself to be God," and that he paid a price for that, and to be crucified and to be hung on a tree, and he did that so that our disobedience, when we realize that our spirit is also being corrupted by sin, that through that we can look at Jesus and see that he did that substitutional sacrifice for us, so that the price of sin could be paid, and then we could get the true spirit, a pure spirit, back, because of believing in him and dedicating our lives to him. And sometimes it's difficult to know what comes from emotions or what comes from the spirit, but I want to go over this, that in 1 Kings 3:16-18, it describes an account of an incident where Solomon was brought before Solomon to judge. There were two women that lived in the same house, and the first had a baby born unto her. Then 3 days later, the second one had a baby born unto her. And both women took care of their own babies in that household. But then after a few days, the second woman's baby died in the night. And when she saw that her baby was dead, she took the dead baby and put it in with the other woman, and took the other woman's baby and put it with her. And so she took the living baby and gave the other one, the dead baby, to the other mother. And in the morning, when the first mother noticed that baby was dead, she took a closer look, and that wasn't really her baby. When she realized that the other woman had taken her baby and substituted that baby, she would say that that's not my baby. That my baby is the one that the living baby, and now is with the other woman. The first woman said that baby is mine. The other one said that baby is mine. They claimed that before King Solomon. And then King Solomon said, well, bring me a sword. And they brought him a sword. And he said, what we're going to do is we're going to cut the baby in half. Each, the living baby in half, and each one can have half. And the second woman said, yes, do that. Divide the baby in half. If it's not going to be mine, it's not going to be hers either. And then Solomon saw that the other woman said that, give her the baby. Let her have the baby. I'm going to sacrifice ever having that as my baby, as long as the baby lives. And then Solomon said, give the living baby to her. She is the real mother. And I think that's showing a higher level of love than would be just on an emotional part, to be able to say that I would sacrifice not having the baby with me just so it can live. And if you've ever experienced that kind of sacrificial love, I think you're blessed to be able to see that. And yet, Jesus, the love we should have for Jesus and the love that Jesus has for us is even greater than that love that the woman had there. And if we see that selfless love that Jesus had, that he would sacrifice his life for something I did, we're really getting to an understanding of what true love is. And if we can get a better picture of that, get a better picture of what really Jesus has done for us in sacrificing, because Jesus was without sin. He was one who didn't commit any sin, yet they accused him of many things. They accused him of when he was telling the truth, they accused him of lying, and they brought many things to the, and then they brought him to a judge, and he said, "I don't find any fault in this person." But they said, "But we have a law that by that he has to die." And they said, "Crucify him, crucify him." Yet because of his love, because of that selfless love that he had, he did in obedience to what the God's plan was, what the plan was for our salvation, was that he would have to die, and he would have to be this painful death that he would go through. And I think in seeing that, we can see more of the way that the Spirit is working, that it's showing that the spirit of those things, and that in a pure spirit, it does things that are even unselfish, knowing that it would be good for others. And then in Ecclesiastes 12:7, it tells us what has happened when life is over. It says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." The physical body that we have will go away. It won't work anymore, and it will decay and become dust. But the spirit returns to God. And it doesn't say just the spirit of those who have believed in God, but there will be a judgment that we will need to give an answer of those things that we have, how we have lived our lives. Did we live our lives in a selfish way, trying to do what is best for us? Or did we live our lives in honor and a praise unto God? And only those who have a pure and cleansed spirit would be able to go to heaven. Those who didn't see that in their own lifetimes, there's a place reserved for that too. So I pray that each one would look at their own lives and try to see in a more excellent way what Christ has done for us, what he has given to us, that we could have our spirit, even though it was corrupted by sin, that we could have those sins forgiven, that we could, he would give us a new heart and a new spirit, that we could serve him according to how he had wanted it to do. And I think it would behoove all of us to see that kind of love in what it truly is, that it's truly an amazing love that God has given unto us to provide a way of salvation for us. May the Lord bless his word.
Let's finish with hymn number 106. 106. One, two, and ten. Mm-hmm. Indeed, we've been richly blessed today to be able to be here and to be at the Lord's feet for learning. Thank Brother Phil this morning for Bible study, and Brother Frank for the service that we just experienced. We're so thankful. We heard a lot about mystery, I think, today. The mystery of a life that we live, a journey of life that leads, we're not exactly sure, but we trust in a God who, as Isaiah said, knows the end from the beginning. We talked about the mystery of the, Brother Frank talked about the mystery of the human body. Oh, how marvelous the intricacies of our human body are, just beyond our ability to truly fathom and understand. But yet we're walking miracles with the human body as it's made. We've talked about the mystery of love, that Jesus left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny. It was a lonely hill on Golgotha, there to lay down his life for each one of us, And that is love. That's the mystery of love. And mystery of, most of all, really, of salvation. But the Apostle Paul in the New Testament makes it very clear that this is a mystery that's revealed. And again, as we're a walking miracle biologically, we're more so a walking miracle spiritually. That those of us who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb have gone from darkness to light are a testament of that mystery of salvation. Yes, it's a mystery for those who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, but it's a revealed mystery for us who do. And our prayer is for each one who does not know Jesus Christ personally as Lord and Savior of their life, that the key to unlock that mystery is right here, before you. And just pray that we will have the courage and have the strength to resist the times in which we live and the pressure that's put upon us to ignore and to put this Bible aside and to read it and to believe it and have faith to walk with Christ. I'll leave us with a benediction from the book of Romans 16, starting in verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory, Jesus, through Jesus Christ, forever. Amen. Let's all pray. Those who can stand, please do so. Our precious Heavenly Father, it is with such joy and such thankfulness, hearts filled with love and thankfulness and joy and peace, that we come to you at this very moment, this beautiful, beautiful worship day that you have provided. The beautiful sun shining outside, but more importantly, the Son of God shining inside into each one of our hearts. We're so thankful that you have made it possible for us to gather together as we have this morning, and as we do each Sunday, that Lord willing, and should you tarry, that we commit to do so to honor, glorify, and praise your high and holy name. Thankful for your word that's been preserved over the many, many years, and is so relevant as today's newspaper, and so urgently important and necessary to our very lives and health, spiritual health. We just pray that those who do not know you, we could cast aside the pride and the thoughts of humanity that creep into our very souls through the various distractions that we're confronted with in this life, and to focus fully upon your holy word and who you are in our lives. So we thank you for this word that has gone forth today here, and we pray that elsewhere, wherever it goes forth today around this world, that it goes forth with purity and truth and clarity and strength, that many hearts could be touched and lives changed for the sake of thy kingdom. And may thy kingdom come, Lord Jesus. And we just pray that your return would be soon. And we pray for all those that are hurting around the world, those in war-torn countries, those in the depths of evil, and those that are persecuted. We just pray for each one, Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit of comfort and conviction to help each in their time of need. So we thank you, Lord, that we could be here. We thank you for our church family. We look forward to fellowship time now around the tables. We pray a blessing upon the food that's been provided, that it might nourish our bodies, and that this day would nourish our souls. We praise you and thank thee for this. In Jesus' precious name, amen.